Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Danny Rand is back for season two of Iron Fist. And don't worry, he's brought all of his friends and some new ones. We are here to talk about episodes 1, 2, and 3, and only episodes 1, 2, and 3 of season two of the Immortal Iron Fist. The Iron Fist After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Everybody was cool. That's right.
No, that's later.
It comes up, don't worry. You just jumped the gun a little bit. You're a little overeager.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the Iron Fist After Show. It is not a rerun of this past Sunday's Marvel TV Weekly, which featured all three of these same people talking about Iron Fist as well. But we're only talking about Iron Fist here on the Iron Fist After Show. I'm Christian Blatt, joined as always by Zia Anderson.
Hi, guys.
And sitting in this week while our other panelists have to go through a little bit more training. Their chi is all, it's just completely unaligned.
Yeah.
And they need to meditate. But they'll be with us on Sunday. And we are going to go through Iron Fist, all 10 episodes, fairly quickly. We're going to have shows on Wednesdays and Sundays. And there's only going to be 4 shows. We're going to go through 3 episodes for the first 3 episodes of this, which sounds clunky the way I explained it. And then the final 4th after show will only be about episode 10. And if you're watching this right now and you've seen episode 10, you're thinking, oh yeah, we're going to need a whole show for that, aren't we?
Ooh.
But that is in the future. Right now, we're going to take a quick moment to talk about the past. I personally really appreciated the recap at the beginning because people who watch us on Marvel TV Weekly know that I very much enjoyed Iron Fist Season 1. I didn't think it was perfect, but I liked it, and a lot of people were very critical on it, but I enjoyed it a lot, but there were still things that I didn't remember. Zia, Amy, did you guys appreciate sort of that little refresher there at the beginning?
Oh, I skipped it.
Oh, because you didn't need it.
I didn't need it.
No.
No, I skipped it because I watched the first season of Iron Fist relatively recently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I watched it like a year ago.
Yeah, so, I didn't watch it when it came out. It took me a while to get caught up on that one.
Yeah, well, I appreciated it because sometimes, especially when there's obviously like a long period of time between shows, I like a little recap and it also just gets you back into the swing of everything. And I do want to say I'm in the chat, so you guys are welcome to join us. So thank you to everyone that's already there right now.
Yeah, we had a bunch of people that were geared up and ready to chat well before we started. So thanks to everybody. And if you're watching the archive version of this, please go ahead and leave your comments there as well, because we will definitely incorporate those into future shows. So with all that out of the way, let's dive right in. We're going to talk about the first 3 episodes, as I mentioned. And as we talk about these 3 episodes, all spoilers, anything and everything that happens, but only in the 3 episodes. So if you're in the chat and you've seen all of them, keep in mind, Zia and Amy have not seen all the episodes. Mm-hmm. So you would be spoiling something for them if you talked about something really awesome that's about to come up, or maybe not come up, but you know. So anyway, let's talk about season 2, episode 1, which was written by showrunner M. Raven Metzner, who is a new showrunner this year. He had done Sleepy Hollow before this, directed by David Dobkin. The title of the episode is The Fury of Iron Fist, which is a great title because it is a nod to Tony in the Booth, Marvel premiere number 15, which was the first appearance of Danny Rand the Iron Fist. So that's a nice little nod, and we will talk about some of the fun little Easter eggs. A great website called denofgeek.com has a nice quick reference for all of the Easter eggs, and I want to give them credit. I don't want to act like I'm as smart as they are. There's a couple things that I definitely picked up on, but right there, we've already given one that I didn't pick up on.
Real quick, also, it is his right fist.
It's his right fist. See, we were having a debate when we were taking a picture before, and as much as I love the show, I was thinking, wait, is it his right fist? It just didn't feel right, but Clearly, it's his right fist.
We
all
did
right.
it, guys.
Yeah, we totally we nailed it.
It was 50-50 chance
yeah.
there. So
yeah. So for the sake of everybody who is watching, first, Amy, then Zia, talk a little bit about your overall feelings of season one and what your expectations were for season two.
Yeah, well, okay, so season one, I don't think I was as, not lenient, because it's not like you guys were, but I didn't enjoy it as much as you guys. But I didn't hate it as much as a lot of people. I think there wasn't enough time for Finn Jones to really get into the choreography and learn it, which, totally understandable, 3 weeks, like, hello. And so my expectations were not that high when the first season ended. But when Defenders happened, I could see a little spark of something with Luke Cage and Iron Fist. And so then when we moved on to Luke Cage season two and we got a little bit more of that, my expectations were raised. And I'm so glad that they were, because you don't ever want a show to just be like, well, I mean, we'll just hope for the best. You know, you want the best for the show. So going into season two, yeah, I mean, I was hoping that it was going to be much better. And I liked the character development, and I won't go too
well, we'll get into yes. three episodes worth but of yes. it. And Zia, your thoughts of season one and expectations for season two?
Well, season one, like I said before, I watched a little bit late. I just had gotten so overwhelmed with all these other shows, and I finally was like, okay, back to Netflix, back to Iron Fist. But I watched it very, very recently, so I had already heard all the feedback. So I went into it with very low expectations. So when I watched it, I spent the entire season thinking, oh, this really isn't as bad as everyone said. I was like, I actually am enjoying this. It was, the story was enough that I wanted to keep watching.
Right. And I think even people who were critical of it, usually what I could say is like, yeah, but what about Colleen? Like, people love Colleen.
People love Colleen.
Yeah. Her. And, for sure. And thankfully, we get to see plenty of Colleen, yes. especially in these first three episodes. And I think I understand people being critical of Finn Jones' portrayal of Danny. I think it's a very specific sort of, you know, you have to keep in mind, this is a guy who basically in a lot of ways is still emotionally, mentally 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think we have seen him mature into the second season mm-hmm. already. But he's just literally coming back into reality for all intents and purposes in season one. So I like the growth that we saw, you know, a little bit in Defenders, and then the visit that he had in Luke Cage season two. You're just like, yeah, this is the Danny yeah. Rand that I want to see.
Yeah.
And I think that we start off with the Fury of the Iron Fist. We start off with just that. So the show opens, and he is taking out criminals from the Golden Tigers gang, which features very heavily into the season. And they are directly out of the comic books, although they didn't appear until Iron Fist number 8. But Anthony, if you could find, I guess just type in Golden Tigers Iron Fist number 8. We will show the audience what the costumes look like. And you'll see why they don't look like this in the show. But it's kind of a very fun 70s sort of look. But yeah, so I think it's great to start off with Danny in action. Mm-hmm. You know, I really liked seeing that. That sequence with the truck was great, I mm-hmm. thought. Little disappointed that he covered the bottom of his face and we didn't have the cool yellow mask that everybody who watches Marvel TV Weekly knows how excited mm-hmm. I am for the yellow masks this season, because we saw them in the trailer. And yeah, so right here we have the Golden Tigers. I think that's really fun for a comic book, but right. I don't know that would have worked.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
But I love that we had them in the series, you know.
They kind of look like luchadores.
Yeah.
They do, actually. Yeah.
With the robes and everything.
Yeah. So, you know, this truck robbery is right in the middle of the Tigers and the Hatchet Gang. They're basically fighting for the territory that is vacant with the fall of the Hand. Mm-hmm. So, as we talk about that sequence, Zia, your thoughts of the way that season two, episode one starts just right out of the gate.
Oh, I love that. It started with a bang. And I like that, because obviously some time has gone by. The Defenders have happened. He's already been through some stuff. He's lost some stuff. So I like that they just kind of throw you right into it. Mm-hmm. And I like that it shows how much has happened since you last watched. So you come into it being like, oh, man, he's really been doing some work since we've been, quote unquote, gone. And it just makes it feel yeah. like a lot of time has passed.
But Danny hasn't been gone.
He's been there.
As he talks about in this episode, but also we see in the recap for those who didn't skip it, was that, you know, Matt Murdock before he died, I'm using air quotes, before he died, though, he said, I need you to protect my city. And Danny takes that responsibility very seriously, mm-hmm. which I think is a big reason why he seems so much more mature in the season. Amy, what did you think about the opening sequence with the truck?
Well, I love in superhero shows and movies getting to see superheroes do their thing. So starting it off just like that, perfect. Perfect. And I think it also just started off in the right foot of like, look, we're not messing around. We know that we took some time and we worked with Finn and they put in the work. He put in the work. And so now we just have really high expectations.
It's worth noting the show has a new fight coordinator, mm-hmm. and a stunt coordinator, and also a new showrunner. So they're definitely addressing some of the criticisms that people had. Again, me, big fan of season one, but I understand that people had some issues with it. And of course, that opening sequence has the great effect of, which we always enjoy, when Danny punches the ground.
Yes, I love
I
that.
Just love watching everybody fall back. So
I wish I could do that.
Seriously,
But not hurt people unless...
But what if they need hurting?
Well,
what if
somebody's trying to steal your purse in the middle of the night?
That's done. Right. Ooh. Just punch the ground and then they're going to fall over.
Exactly.
And anyway, and remember, Amy's in the chat, so if you have any comments and questions, anything you want to chime in with, go ahead. So we see that Colleen has hung up the katana, not literally hung it up, but she's put it up on the mantle because, you know, obviously she's just trying, you know, things don't always go well for her when she draws it. And, you know, having to behead Bakudo, even though he was a bad guy, it still stays with her, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think about the development of Colleen as the basically doing volunteer work and not carrying around her blade, Zia?
I kind of like that she's trying to just be there for Danny also.
Yeah.
I appreciate the way she does it in the first three episodes. We'll get into the rest later. I'm not going to talk about it now. She's kind of just his support system, and I like that she does that. She's not trying to control him. She's not trying to – she just sort of, you know, throws out little warnings a little bit. She's like, okay, you're taking this very closely to heart. Just be careful. And I enjoyed that she did that because there's nothing more than I hate – when a superhero is trying to do his thing and there's a preachy person trying to stop them, I don't know. That just annoys me so much in the shows. I'm like, we don't need that.
Yeah. And it's usually somebody that's like, well, can't somebody else do it?
Right.
And, you know, it's
no.
To borrow a phrase from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
And the Iron Fist is some pretty great power. Amy, what do you think about Colleen sort of as this season starts, you know, sort of, you know, she's not retired,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not like she still can't kick some ass when she needs to, but she's trying to sort of take a step back from that lifestyle.
Yeah, well, I think it's nice because it's kind of nicely juxtaposed against Danny, where he's really going forward and he's just like, well, I gotta go and save everyone, basically. I need to take care of New York. So it's nice to have that balance. But also, I mean, Colleen's a total VA. So it doesn't take long for her to be like, okay, well, I got to kick some butt now. So it's nice. But I like that we get a little bit more depth from her character.
Right. And one of the new characters that we meet this season is the very mysterious Mary, who this part of the conversation, we will just call the very mysterious Mary. What do we know about her? Played by Alice Eve, who people know from a variety of things, but she's had a sort of big role in the second Star Trek movie. Well, the second J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie. You just randomly meets a nice girl at the coffee shop, basically. And we see that Joy has called a meeting with Danny and Ward. And if you remember the way that season one ended, Joy was, in the early stages, the wheels were spinning, the machinations for a dastardly plan, which is, of course, kind of essential in the life of any superhero. But her first step is that she needs to take her divestment from Rand Enterprises. And, Ward doesn't want any part of it, but Danny's like, well, this is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Do you think, Zia, that Joy was counting on Danny just being like, yeah, we should just do whatever she asks and not reading that really huge packet? Whereas, like, Ward's like, let's get the lawyers. Let's get the lawyers to look at it. And Danny's like, where do I sign?
Yeah, I feel like she should have anticipated that because that's very much within Danny's character. However, I don't feel that she did because I can't remember if it was in the three episodes.
No.
I know that she was saying, you know, he was nice to me.
She does talk. She does. It might actually be in the second one, but yeah, but no, it's in the same one because this is, you know, Davos will then talk to her, which we'll talk about in a second. Yeah.
So she was for some reason taken aback by it. She had built, I feel like she built Danny up to be this horrible person in her mind because of everything that had happened and everything that he supposedly did to her. Don't even get me started on that. And and so she was expecting him to, I don't know, be something that he's not. And when he was nice and he was like, okay, well, whatever you want, if that's what you really want, then yeah, absolutely, you can have it. I think it made her rethink her plans a little bit or at least feel a little bit bad about it.
Well, there's definitely pangs of guilt about, like, this is a guy that I've known since I was a kid. He's literally the sweetest guy in the world.
Right.
He happens to be a deadly weapon, but still, he's such a sweet guy. And I know what I have planned for him, which is her conversation with Davos. What do you think about sort of that awkward moment? You know, do you feel for Joy at all, or is it hard to feel bad for somebody who has bad plans?
I mean, I could play devil's advocate and say I feel bad for her just because, you know, she felt lied to. And so that's just kind of what her motives are now moving forward. She just always has that in her head that she's kind of been put in a position where it's like, I can't really trust these guys. So I'm going to get what I want and that's it. So, I mean, I guess I get it, but it's very tricky.
So hard, Amy.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got bad plans, like, don't take advantage of people. And I think just Danny, like you said, Danny's so sweet that, I don't know, that's just a tricky situation. You should read everything.
Yeah, I mean, she would never have gotten that past Ward, especially if he'd brought it to the lawyers. Yeah. But Danny being there, and Ward's just like, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we follow Ward to his N.A., Narcotics Anonymous meeting, mm-hmm. where he's not very talkative, but doesn't mind throwing money around, and has a really unique relationship with his sponsor.
Very close.
Very close.
Yeah, and slightly unprofessional.
I think that's very unprofessional. And I don't know, Zia, do you think he's on a good road to recovery at this point in the season?
Probably not so much.
Yeah.
He's half trying. I appreciate, I love the growth we've seen from Ward. He's grown into a character that I like, and I did not think that was possible.
Yeah, I mean, I hated him in the first season, but in the way you're supposed to hate him, right. You know? Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that he did try to kill Danny two different times. Yeah, two different times in the first season. And yet I do find myself, especially as the season goes along, I do find myself liking him, and I'm like, well, how is that possible?
Because you appreciate the work he's putting in to change. And he really is, although he's kind of, you know, halfing it because he's sleeping with his NA sponsor and he also never talks in the meetings.
Yeah.
But he's going and he's built a relationship with Danny, which I love. I love their relationship now.
I do like that there is a relationship. Yeah. You know? I mean, especially really when season one started, he and Joy were just convinced there's no way this is him. And so everything was sort of determined towards proving that this isn't really him, especially because they thought it was, you know, really going to eat into their best interests if it really was Danny Rand who showed up. So we do get to see Davos meet with Mr. Yang, who's the leader of the Hatchets. There's a mysterious shipment he's waiting for. And then keeping with Davos, we're reminded that Joy and Davos are teaming up. And she does talk to Davos about sort of this feeling she had when she was with Danny. And he wants to make sure that she's not wavering. And that's the moment where, you know, maybe it's like, yeah, why are we doing this? It wouldn't have stopped Davos, but, you know, Joy could have very well been like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I got my own plans. I don't really need to get this kind of revenge from Danny Rand. Right? Don't you think that would have been a great time for Joy to be like, what am I doing?
Yeah, but that's not how Joy feels right now.
That's not how she rolls.
I did want to give a few shout outs to everyone in the chat. I asked earlier how they felt about Ward. And some people have very strong opinions about him. But one says, so Rory, where'd it go? Here we go. Zaytalk says, I'm liking Ward for making an effort. So they appreciate that he's trying. I mean, I don't know how much he's trying.
He is trying, though. Last season, he wasn't trying.
Yeah, and I think he's trying to get very, very close to his sponsor, which, I mean, it can't be too bad. Like, I know you guys are saying that he's not trying that hard because it's getting messy, but It's better for him to hang out with her than someone that's, you know, okay, in a dangerous situation. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here.
But would he still be going to the meetings if there wasn't somebody for him to have sex with in the closet?
No. So isn't that great? He's going to the meetings.
She's keeping him at the meetings. That's what it is.
You're welcome,
yeah,
guys. There we go. Nice.
You're welcome.
Keeping it with Davos, he does actually meet up with Danny, and he does sort of reiterate the frustrations about leaving Kun Lun. And what I do like about this, it's the reversal of the, you know, him criticizing Joy. Even he's just like, oh yeah, right, I am angry at this guy. Yes, he took this thing that was my birthright. Mm-hmm. But man, he is such a good guy, you know, and he like tries to get him to, you know, if he had said like, yeah, you know what, you should have been the Iron Fist. Maybe Davos is like, all right, well, let me just head back. You know,
thanks, sorry,
we're all
man.
Done. Peace out. Yeah. Forget all the plans. Forget season two. But, you know, that's not what happened. Give us your thoughts on sort of Davos at this very early point in the season, Zia.
Davos is infuriating.
Yes, he is.
I know that's the way you're supposed to feel about the villain. I feel exactly the way about him I feel like that they intended you to feel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job. That actor's doing a great job of pulling that just hatred out of him. And you really see that that's what jealousy gets you. That's really all it is. He's jealous of Danny. He thinks he stole his birthright, and he's mad that he left Kung Lun. But mostly it's jealousy. And it's so out of control that we know what he's trying to do.
We know what he's trying to do. But they don't tell you yet in episode one.
They don't tell you
but
yet.
Yeah, we'll talk about that very soon.
We know that
soon.
He's up to something.
But what is he up to? Keep listening and watching, and we'll tell you. But worst of all, Amy, he's very unkind towards Colleen, and I will not stand for that. I don't like the way he talks about her.
Yeah. Well, okay, we'll get to it. But yeah. Yeah.
This is hard, you guys.
Yeah, I know.
It's so tricky, but you know, I feel like there's something about having those characters that you obviously like you root against, but you're also like, but what are you going to do? Like, you're very curious to see, you know, exactly how they do what they're going to do. That makes it just more interesting. And the fact that he's a good quality character also makes it good to watch, because if he was just a crappy like villain, then you'd be like, I don't really care what you're doing. So I like that he's really good and really freaking annoying.
Yeah, and the best of these Marvel Netflix seasons have sort of this great villain with a very vested interest in the, you know, the protagonist, in our hero. You know, Jessica Jones, we have Kilgrave. Obviously, we have Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin. Woo. The first season of Daredevil and the upcoming third season, he'll be a much bigger fixture because of the fact that, you know, he knows everything about Daredevil now, whereas he was just finding out about him in the first season. But anyway, back to this. We have Danny and Colleen. They go to the restaurant owned by Choi's cousin, Henry Yip, and they end up having to fight a small-time gang of kids led by Rhino. And we will see more of them throughout the season. And then the episode ends with Danny leaving his apartment at night and practicing the Iron Fist in an abandoned room in a subway station. And this is, you know, you kind of have to feel bad for that door that Danny just beats the hell out of. Like, what did that door do wrong? But that's how much he needs. He feels he's responsible for being the Iron Fist. You know, he's just like got to be up all night punching the door. What do you think about that, Zia?
I feel like it's a pretty decent way to get your anger out.
That's true.
I feel like it's not. I feel like that's not a bad move.
When you're the Iron Fist, you can take your anger out on a lot of things.
Exactly.
So it might as well definitely be that door.
May as well be a door. He's very responsible in his anger. He waits for the train to come so that the noise isn't noticed by everyone, and people are like, what the heck is going on over there?
He's crazy.
Yeah. But it's fun. But I like that you see that part of him, because he's much more calm and he's much more centered in this season. But I like that you still see that conflict in him, because he's still a conflicted character. He's still been through a lot. He doesn't quite know what his plans with Davos are, or what Davos's plans for him are yet.
Yeah.
But he knows that they're not getting along, and I know that bothers him. And yeah, I like that they show some of that. And he's not just, I'm great now.
Right. And Amy, what do you think sort of about the way that Danny just feels this pressure of being the Iron Fist, but then also sort of being appointed this protector of New York by Matt Murdock?
I mean, there's some kind of symbolism with feeling that pressure, that he just wants to release it, bottom, right?
Yeah.
So he's just letting that all out with his fist and punching it. Rory in the chat brought up a good point. They liked the red lights over his shoulder as he beat the door.
Mm. Yeah, it's nice. Some very nice cinematography, some great framing there. It's absolutely so a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier about the Easter eggs. So the Silver Lotus, the restaurant where the fight takes place at the end of episode one, it was actually name-checked in Uncanny X-Men First Class number 4. Jean Grey, Storm, Colleen Wing, and Misty Knight are all in that restaurant in Uncanny X-Men First Class number 4.
I'm going to have to read this now.
Yeah, so exactly. It's just like, yeah. By the way, so cool. Little-known fact for people who aren't as well-versed in the comic book universe, Cyclops and Colleen Wing used to date in Uncanny X-Men.
No.
There was a point where Jean Grey wasn't around anymore. She wasn't part of the team. And so Cyclops dated her.
Also Danny and Misty Knight together in the comic
books? At one point, yes.
Together, yeah.
That's weird.
Can you imagine? They've set it up so differently in the show.
Yes, they've definitely set it up so differently. Yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, essentially, that's what we take away from episode one. We go into episode two, The City's Not for Burning, directed, well, written by John Worley, but directed by Rachel Talalay, and the interesting thing there is anyone who's a fan of Doctor Who, she directed the season finale and the Christmas episode Twice Upon a Time, the most recent episode as we're talking here. There hasn't been one since Christmas, so I was excited to see her name there in the credits. So just a little nerd Easter egg that doesn't have that much to do with the show. Episode two, The City's Not for Burning, we see that the Hatchet Gang is really just leaning on these business owners for the protection money. Danny runs into Mary. Again, this mysterious Mary. What are the odds? New York's such a big city. How do you just run into some girl who's here from Wisconsin? Danny being Danny. Do you want to come up to my house? Oh, it's not what you think it is, but just do you want to come up to my house anyway? I have a girlfriend, but do you want to come up to my house?
That first episode when he meets her for the first time, when his friend was trying to talk to her, I was like, Danny, first of all, you're giving her the wrong idea because you're being way too charming and flirty.
And you totally C-blocked your friend.
And that too. That's what I was going to say. He completely C-blocked his friend, which was terrible. I was like, that's what you get for being too nice, Danny.
That's right.
Although it did help him later.
So when she's up in the house, go figure, she acts kind of weird. What do you think about, at this point as you were watching it, you know, take your mind back to episode two. What did you think of Mary at this point, you know, this weird girl who's walking around Danny and Colleen's house?
Well, exactly that. I was like, what's up with you, Mary? But there's a song. Yeah, I think we played it.
Why you bugging, Mary?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes, she just gave me weird vibes. And so I was kind of not scared for Danny or Colleen because they can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But you just don't know what Mary's going to do. And the fact that Colleen was a little bit weirded out, I was like, yeah, same Colleen. I feel ya. So,
yeah. And I should reference in episode one, we do see the scene where she's in the bathroom and she's running the water. And you're like, okay, something is up with this girl.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but I mean, for that, I was like, okay, maybe she wants to steam. I don't know.
Well,
like,
no, because then she goes from the crying to laughing. You know, there's definitely tropes of crazy people in movies and TV. And that like, I'm crying, now I'm laughing.
You know what's really funny is watching the first episode, I called that she had the dissociative disorder.
Yes.
I'm not even joking. And I swear I didn't. I'm not just saying
this now. Yeah, we had talked about this character on Marvel TV Weekly, but we didn't go into that aspect of it.
I called that in the very first episode.
It's not multiple personalities disorder, which is something that that Joy will refer to it as in the future. But yes, it's dissociative disorder is what you call it. Yes.
It's because I read an article about it once years ago about the effects of it. And I was like, this looks like dissociative disorder. And Nick was like, oh, that's, you know, what's that? So I explained it to him, and then a few episodes later, that's what it is. Sorry, I'm patting myself on the back, guys.
Hey, that's why Amy's here, to pat
Thank
you on the back. So Colleen meets BB, and that's the gang. So he's part of the gang that's led by Rhino, and does try to, you know, convince them to visit the Bear Community Center to, you know, to help out and, you know, stop mugging innocent people for money. But also, you know, they're not too happy with her already. But we will see them regularly throughout the season, as most of you know. Danny goes to meet with Mr. Yang, who is the leader of the Hatchets, and he wants to, you know, really say that this war with the Golden Tigers is you know, something that shouldn't be going on. They should negotiate. And Danny talks to Mr. Yang's wife and tries to convince her husband. But also, while this is all going on, what do you think about what Danny's trying to do? He's trying to not just use the Iron Fist and, you know, punch everybody who's in a gang. What do you think, Amy, about these efforts to be like, no, like, I get it. You're gangs. You're bad people. You do, you know, criminal enterprises. But you should at least not be, like, killing each other on the streets, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just him being mature now and trying to look out for the city that he's now kind of just taken under his wing. And I mean, that's a maturity that we didn't see before. And so I like that we're seeing that. And I feel like he's trying to think of New York as a whole. So not just like, oh, I got to get the bad guys. I don't care like who gets hurt in the meantime. But it's just like, okay, I need to make sure that no one else gets hurt. So I like that. And I mean, sometimes it's a little bit hard because he thinks a certain way and other people don't agree with that. And so he's having to prove himself like, no, this is how I feel. And I think we should do this. But it's difficult, but that's also kind of what the development
is. Yeah, and you also have, obviously, these people who are parts of these organizations. Yeah. They're so set in their ways that, you know, just like, why don't you just talk about your feelings? You know, that's not really what they really want to do.
Yeah.
So this episode, episode two, also features the introduction of the mysterious copper bowl. Now, why would Davos need a mysterious copper bowl? Is it something that he wants to eat his delicious Kix cereal out of?
Yes.
That was for you, because I remember when we talked about breakfast cereals, you didn't know any good ones.
Never heard of Kix.
But anyway, so Joy has a frenemy, really, because you don't feel like Joy has any friends. Her friend Mika, who there's an auction, and Davos is very interested in this copper bowl. And basically, Joy figures out how she can get it because, you know, it needs to be appraised, it needs to be restored, all these things. And Davos, like, literally, like, wants it right away and is prepared to kill her and just take it. And Joy's like, settle down. But, you know, there's another way to do this. A way that, you know, doesn't involve murder. And right then, that's when you lose Davos. Yes. It's like, I'm not going to kill anyone? Yeah, I'm out. I
feel like he definitely would rather have killed her
than have had sex with her. Yeah. Yes. I mean, clearly, you know, I mean, you know, obviously she's into some things that seem to at least pique his appetite a little bit more. But yeah. And of course, Joy being Joy, let me just go ahead and film this. Why don't you make out with this guy? I'm going to film it. And, you know, and also Ward does pay a visit to the auction house. So this is very important that he knows about this bowl. But it's just another attempt where he's trying to talk to Joy. Joy has made it very clear she's not interested in talking to Ward. So we also, getting back to Mr. Yang, he gives back the money that Davos had given him for the shipment because he said that he just can't do it anymore. You know, he had already delayed the shipment and asked for more money, and he's like, well, now I can't do it because they're trying to smooth things over with the Golden Tigers and the Hatchets. And Davos, well, he just does a little two finger stroke. I don't know what else to call that. You know, it's I think they actually identify the move at some point in the season, but you know, he just gives him a little, you know. And what did you think about that moment when you saw it, Zia? That that's how Davos handles that situation.
It looked about right to me. It was pretty much, as soon as he said we can't do it anymore, I was like, oh no, Mr. Yang. Because I like him. I know he's a leader of a gang, but you can't help but kind of like the guy. He tries to do the right thing.
He's definitely, his heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
And, you know, his wife seems sympathetic to, you know, to reason. So.
And they try. They actually try.
Yeah. That's true. They definitely try. What do you think of Mr. Yang and you know, sort of the fact that he's in the wrong end of a Davos poke, basically.
Poke.
It's a little poke.
Yeah, well, honestly, that was one scene that I had to watch again because I was like, wait, what is going on with Mr. Yang?
Yeah.
I was like, I kind of thought, like, I blinked, it feels like. I blinked and then I missed it. So I thought he poisoned him somehow or something happened. But just to see him just go like that, yeah, terrified the crap out of me.
Have you ever seen Kill Bill?
Yeah.
That's what it made me think of.
Oh, okay.
That he was going to take some steps and die. I thought he was literally going to die. I didn't
realize I actually thought he was going to die too. I didn't realize, well, as we find out in the next episode, that he had a stroke. But so this episode, though, I mean, we talked about sort of the, you know, the real-time narrative chronologically. This episode is important, though, because we do get the flashback of Davos and Dany fighting. We see the yellow masks, finally. Very exciting. But it's the final round of their tournament in Kun Lun. The winner, it would be decided that the winner either kills the opponent or someone yields. And that's how a winner is determined, which is very important for this competition. The winner will face Xia Lao, the Undying Dragon, for the power of the Immortal Iron Fist. Dany is declared as the winner by Davos's father, and he was just having such a strong, you know, moment over Davos. I think Davos's father was just convinced that Dany would have killed him, and because it's his son, he stopped him. But that right there is a point of contention. As you know, we're sort of jumping ahead a little bit, but clearly, Amy, Davos felt like no, I could have gotten back up, and I could have killed Dany if I had to.
I mean, at that point, I get where Davos is coming from, because to be in that kind of position and to have taken so much already from Dany, and then to have someone, yes, they love you, yeah, but speak on your behalf and be like, no, it's over. I would have been furious, because he was still trying. Like, but I also understand from his dad's point of view, like, I don't want you to kill my son. I get it. But I would have been furious too. But it's also really, I mean, this makes me sound really crazy, but I loved seeing all the blood and all of the struggles. Like, give it to us. So it was great.
Yeah, I mean, those are some great fight scenes there with Dany and Davos, and just the amount of like blood on their shirts and things. You're like, this went on for a long time, and I just love everybody else was just sitting there, just sort of watching, you know. And they're like,
that's how we were.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like us. Zia, what did you think about that flashback sequence?
Well, yes, I again loved it because of all of the blood and how hard you could tell it was for both of them. And I definitely think that Davos's anger is misplaced towards Dany when it should be more for his father. Because you're right, I understand why he would be upset. His father spoke on his behalf. He didn't yield, and he definitely didn't die. And I understand, again, why his father did that. But I feel like he should be more angry at his father as opposed to Dany.
Right, but there's nothing he can do because as he's concerned, his father's dead. There's nowhere to be found.
That's why you have to deal with it on the inside, on your own, Davos. Go to therapy.
Or just exactly. Or just take it out on poor Dany Rand. Now, in the comic books, there is a fight between Davos to become the Iron Fist. It was actually with Wendell Rand, Danny's father, to become the Iron Fist. That would have been super confusing, as they point out on denofgeek.com, where I'm getting some of these background information. So it made sense that they sort of streamlined the relationship. I thought it was great. It basically ends the same way. There's a couple other little things. There is the coffee shop where Mary is, a place called Coffee A Go-Go. That is a coffee shop where the original X-Men used to hang out. So it's a nice little, you know, little X-Men nod that we get there. And I love stuff like this. The scenes with Mary, by the way, you're definitely, if you are familiar with the character she is, which we're about to reveal very soon, you would recognize sort of some of the things that you start to see. And the title of the episode, finally, this episode number 2, The City's Not for Burning, was the title of Iron Fist number 3 from 1976. So that is your update on all the Easter eggs. What's going on in the chat? What are people saying about what we're talking about before we move on to episode 3?
Well, Renji90998 said that they were also having Black Panther flashbacks when Dany had his flashback, which is true.
Yeah, the fight to become, you know, whatever the hero is. Yeah, you're right. That's actually they're very reminiscent. Yeah. That's a great observation. I did not think of that, but you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And it's just let's fight to become superheroes.
People also having Kill Bill flashbacks. Nice. People really love the fight. Which, I mean, we can all agree it was pretty glorious.
There was
fantastic.
A lot of emotion in the fight, too.
Yeah.
I liked that. Because obviously they're both fighting against brothers, but they both want to be the Immortal Iron Fist.
There's so much at stake, and there's so much, heart. And you can feel the passion and
blood and gore and rah.
You can hear the fist pounding into faces.
Yeah.
Glorious.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about episode 3, This Deadly Secret, an episode title taken from Power Man and Iron Fist number 99. Every episode title in this season, by the way, it comes from a comic book. So when I have the information at my disposal, I will always tell you. But before we talk about This Deadly Secret, a not-so-secret message from our friend Zia Landerson.
Ooh. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. You can turn them off. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you, and thank you to Zia. So let's get through episode 3, and that'll set us up for Sunday's episode, where we will go from episodes 4, 5, and 6. So this one, Ward basically tells Danny, hey, Joy is working with Davos, so he suggests Danny invite Joy and Davos over to dinner so Ward can talk to Joy, but then also Danny can talk with Davos. And then, of course, this happens. Colleen is very taken aback by it. They do have everybody over for dinner. Of course, Ward doesn't show up. But in true Ward fashion, he tries. He's there. He's outside. He just can't bring himself to be in. So sort of following that whole storyline through, basically, from the decision to invite them to dinner through the actual very awkward dinner party. Zia, tell us what you thought about all that.
First of all, it makes you hate Joy even more. When she goes there with all of her little quips, I understand why Colleen wanted to beat her for all of her
domestic comments.
Oh my gosh, that was so obnoxious. And I really, really loved when Colleen called everybody out. I was so happy that she finally did that because it was just a ridiculous fake dinner party.
None of the other three people would have done that.
No. You know,
Danny's the last person who would ever make that kind of a statement. Yeah,
yes.
So.
And they needed Colleen there for that.
Yeah. What did you think of the dinner party? Were you glad that you weren't at the table, Amy?
I mean, yes, but I also wanted some of that food.
Right, those meatballs that he was outside grilling. Like, yes. Who grills their meatballs? I want those.
This is the problem with sometimes when they show a lot of really delicious food on Netflix shows, especially. Sometimes it's just the lighting.
And there's anytime we see Danny, whether it's this series, when he showed up in Luke Cage or in The Defenders, he's always eating.
Yes.
And it always looks like, it's usually dumplings.
Yes.
It always looks delicious. And I'm just like, I just want to eat with Danny.
Yep.
Some other things that happen in this episode, This Deadly Secret, Colleen breaks into Yang's restaurant and, actually it's the furniture store, and finds this ledger, mysterious ledger. She's trying to find out more about, I don't know, what would you call that box that, that she finds, you know, at the community center. It's like a hairbrush is inside of it. I'm not good with lady stuff. What would you call that?
Honestly, I have no idea. I've never seen that before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, if anybody in the chat knows, but anyway, she finds it's an heirloom of some kind. Yeah. It has her family's crest, so she's very interested in it. She's trying to find out more about it. We sort of didn't do a good job of explaining it. And by we, I mean me. So so she's been investigating it, but it hasn't really been a major focus at this point. So she's looking into that. And then Danny's at the apartment. And Mary slides some surveillance photos under the door. And Danny does get a hold of her and is like, what is this? What are you doing? And all that Mary can tell him is that he needs to be careful. Someone named Walker is watching him. Now, that's very mysterious. Zia, at this moment, you've already sort of made a diagnosis of her. Do you think you know who Walker is at that moment? Or do you think... Well, let's put it this way. Were you right about who Walker was? Let me put it that way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, because if you... Dissociative identity disorder, I think, is a little bit than... That's DID, is a little bit different than dissociative disorder. Because when you dissociate from who you are, and you don't know who you are. So for this, if it's dissociative identity disorder, it means, I guess, she goes back and forth between two identities. So yes. you just kind of have a feeling. And even in the first two episodes, before you know this about her, there's just something weird about her. Like you guys said, you're like, what's up with this chick?
Yeah.
There's obviously this is a setup for something, because she can't just be some normal girl that is in love with Danny, unless they're going to throw a stalker element in there. But that would be weird.
Yeah.
So
no, it's true. What did you think, Amy? Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the first time that I was like, okay, when are we going to figure out what her situation is? Like, yeah. Okay, like we're at a point where we all know something's up. Let's just get it now. And then, especially when they're outside and she's just like, oh, like,
yeah.
I was like, ah, spirit, I want to know. So, yeah, urgency was there for sure.
So these photos are something that Davos sees when he's there, and he's like, he knows what those photos are. Those are the photos that he and Joy hired Walker to take while she was, well, stalking Danny Rand, really, speaking of the stalker element. So they are pretty furious. They were already not having a great dinner party, let's be honest, but they need to get to the bottom of that. So while they go to catch up with Mary, Mrs. Yang does meet with Danny and Colleen and wants them to be at her negotiation with the Golden Tigers. That negotiation with the Golden Tigers does not go well because Danny sees something suspicious going on, and they do have to leave. And, well, the negotiation doesn't go well. Talk about that sequence, sort of, you know, Danny's basically there for protection, Colleen as well, but let's be honest, Colleen's very tough, but Danny is the Immortal Iron Fist. So, you know, you have the two of them, and they do a great job protecting her, but Danny gets a little jumpy. What do you think about the way that played out, Amy?
Well, I totally understand where Danny's coming from. I mean, this whole season so far, he's just been like, you know, that protective father in a way for New York. And so now that he's having to do that for her, he did jump the gun, but... Jump again. He didn't. But, I mean, unfortunately, it didn't end up helping them in the end. But I don't know. I don't regret anything on his part. But it also was nice because we got to see Colleen really kick some more butt. So I'm always here for that, for sure.
Right. I think everybody, we can all agree, and theoretically everybody in the chat will also agree, that more Colleen kicking butt is what we really want here.
Always. However,
yes.
Sorry, I just got to throw this in there. My absolute favorite part of that, I love Danny and I love Colleen and I totally get where he's coming from.
Oh.
My favorite part was still Mrs. Yang stabbing the Golden Tiger member in the eye.
In the eye.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That hurt me to my core, but it was wonderful. I was
like, Mrs. Yang. It's good to know. She's like, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, this is the kind of thing that I can do if I have to.
Yes,
and it's good to have that secret weapon. All right, so the episode winds down. Davos and Joy meet with Walker, and we all find out at that moment what Zia knew from the beginning, which I also knew, just because I know the character is. Mary has it's the alter personality is the way that they use the phrase, and that's who Walker is. And they threaten Walker regarding Danny getting hold of the photos, and all she's saying at the end of the episode is, I didn't give it to him, which... Technically, she did not. Walker did not give the photos to Danny. So that's basically where this ends, sort of in that moment of like, well, and she's just, you know, I like Walker, you know, because she's just like, yeah, and like she doesn't care. You know, she is she's tough. And this is when we're realizing that she is the Daredevil character, Typhoid Mary. And we talked a little bit about Typhoid Mary on Marvel TV Weekly on Sunday. And it's great that we can get these characters from other books, you know, turning up here. Typhoid Mary had not shown up in Daredevil. So it's nice that they found a place for her in Iron Fist. And, you know, it's very early in the storyline here. But it's very interesting to sort of have these clues dropped in along the way. And, you know, there's a lot of – this is kind of a fun episode because even though that dinner party does not go well, it is sort of like a nice – like watching Danny and Colleen when they're cooking together. It's like a little bit more like around the house, you know. you know, Danny doing laundry, washing blood out of his shirt like you do, you know? Yeah, and I don't know. I just like sort of, even though there was, of course, a lot of action in the episode, I like some of these quieter moments. I like this idea that they were having the dinner party, even though it didn't go well. Mm-hmm. The idea that they were like, let's have people over to the house, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of sweet, right?
Yeah. It's like, it really makes you like Danny and Colleen, which I already did, yes. You know, but it's just, it's sort of nice to see them. You're like, yeah, they're in a good place. They've sort of figured it out. Danny goes out and punches doors and punches golden tigers and punches hatchets, basically punches anything that needs punching. And, you know, Colleen's there to just sort of, you know, basically try and be his anchor and be like, you're going out punching again? And it's like, hey, stuff needs punching, you know? What do you think of the relationship as we see it unfold through these first three episodes, Amy?
I love it. I mentioned this on Marvel TV Weekly that I feel like Danny and Colleen are one of the few couples in Marvel's Netflix series that are actually like really good for each other. They're not perfect, but they're really good and they're not toxic. So, and especially, I mean, getting to see these moments in between action sequences, I feel like that's what makes a really good show. Like, obviously, we want really good action, we want really good gore, all of that. But if you don't have those nice moments where you can really develop those characters, these people just don't mean anything to you. So I really love them together.
Yeah, and we really care about mm-hmm. them. And I think that they've done a good job. You know, we were talking about sort of the character growth for Ward. And even if you hate Joy and you hate Davos, their characters are really well defined. And you really understand Davos's motivation and you understand Joy being angry. Mm-hmm. Her motivation on taking things out on Danny, definitely misplaced. But you know what? That's also what we were saying about Davos. He's really angry with his father, but let's go ahead and focus on poor Danny.
Well, I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Such a nice guy, and everybody's just out to kill him and take everything that means something to him.
Which we'll start to see a lot more of that when we talk about episodes 4, 5, and 6. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we are going to do the show Wednesdays at 10 and Sundays at 9. Those are Pacific time. But if you have any kind of trouble, if that's too late because you're on the East Coast, just go ahead and subscribe, as Zia told you about before, and you'll be able to get all caught up on the episodes as they drop, as they say. So Wednesdays and Sundays we'll be doing this. But the three of us are always on Marvel TV Weekly, Sundays at 10. So really, you'll get us back-to-back on Sundays. You'll get Z and I back-to-back. Amy, we appreciate you sitting in for this first show. And, you know, obviously, anytime that it makes sense for your schedule, we'd love to have you talk more. But we'll all be talking about Iron Fist Season 2 next Sunday at 10 on Marvel TV Weekly. We're going to talk about the whole season. But if you want to dole it out episode by episode, go ahead and stay tuned for the after show. We'll have our regular panelists join us on Sunday. But until then, you can follow me, Christian Blatt, on Twitter and Instagram at @ChristianDMZ. Zia, where do people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @Zia_Land. It's spelled XIA_LAND. And tomorrow night, 7 p.m. for The Sinner.
And Amy,
you guys can find me on all social media at @AmyCassandraMTZ. And thank you to everyone that joined us in the chat. You guys are thebomb.com.
Nice.
Thank you. And so as I said, we will see you next Sunday at 9 Pacific. Until then, may your chi stay aligned.
Ooh.
I'll see you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.